Hello and welcome, everyone. This is Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, and I'm ready to get started. We're going to start by everybody taking a nice, long, slow, deep breath, and we're going to shift ourselves from the kind of sympathetic nervous system, the fight flight that we get into when we're having difficulty uploading a document or we're not sure where to go or we're just not quite as tech savvy as we would like to be and some of the stuff is confusing. It creates stress. And what stress does is creates a cortisol surge in your body. And what cortisol does is it turns off your wizard brain and turns on your lizard brain. So right now, if you're feeling a little stressed, you're probably better able to run around the block or climb a tree than you are to take in high-level technical information. We will be doing high-level technical information. So we're going to start with what I call a little mini vacation, what's known in the heart math system as a quick coherence. I want you to put your left hand on your belly, your right hand on your heart. And I want you to take long, slow, deep breaths in. Ooh, wow. Expand your diaphragm. Feel your belly increase in size. Feel your lungs fill with air. And when you get all the way to the top of that inhale and you just can't breathe anymore, hold that for a few seconds. Allow the oxygen to just circulate around your body. And then take a breath out. Breathe all the way out. Get every last bit of air, even the stale stuff that gets trapped down in the bottom. Get that flowing. Get that out. Do one more. And this time as you breathe in, I want you to breathe in a deep sense of appreciation for someone, something, some place, a pretty picture in your room. I'm looking at my little pretty trinkets and the color of my walls and feeling like I'm in the ocean. Feeling gratitude for all of you out there who are so ready to take in this knowledge and information. Take one more breath and really bask in the appreciation. And allow whatever stress or strain or nervousness you brought in to just fall by the wayside. And take a sip of water if you need. And allow yourself to receive, knowing that you will not remember everything I tell you today. Not the first time I tell you. And that's not a reflection on you or not having a big enough brain. It's a reflection on the fact that this is complex material. And in general, all the learning studies tell us that we retain about 7% of what we hear. That's the reason that I provide information in many different formats. I have visuals so that you're engaging your eyes. You're just not hearing the words. We have audio, so you're engaging your hearing. And then we'll have documents that you can interact with. After the fact, you could take notes on your handout. You could take notes on your notepad. Even if you never look at the notes, what studies show, again, is that you will have learned better just by the act of taking the notes. Some people, I'll go to seminars and they'll say, oh, don't worry about taking notes. We're going to give you a transcript of this afterwards. I take notes anyway. Sometimes I never look back at the notes, but I take the notes anyway because the act of using your hand to write down the information is yet a third way of putting it in your brain. And when you engage three methods like we're doing, you writing, you watching, you listening, that brings the 7% up in the 20s. Still not great, right? That's why I'm thrilled to be able to offer this to you in an online format where you have access to the information and you can watch this over and over. Like I said in an email I sent out recently, when I learned this information, it was sitting in a classroom. scrambling and taking notes, and I'm looking at them right now in one of my books on the side columns, wondering how the heck I was going to remember all this. But over the years, with practice, with constant interaction and going back, you learn it. So just relax and know that you're not going to get it all the first time through. But we're going to go through a lot of cases, small mini parts of cases for each individual parameter of the blood analysis, and then big cases at the end so that you'll get it over and over again. I may get tired of hearing myself say the same thing over and over again. You may feel like you're getting tired of hearing me say it, but for the most part, it's putting it and singing it better into your brain. Okay? So everybody in this course is at a different level. Some of you are active practitioners, and you could start ordering tests on people Monday morning. And I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to have in front of you either yours or a client or patient's lab for today, so that as I'm speaking about these things, you can be making notes and you'll know that person's history. Lab is one part of a complete assessment protocol. It's really important to not just take one thing and hang your hat on it, as the saying goes. It's combination. You have the history where you speak to people and ask lots of questions. If you see people and have the privilege to be able to examine them, whether you're an acupuncturist and are looking at pulses and tongues and feeling pulses and examining parts and looking for tenderness, or if you're, even if you're doing coaching over the phone, there's still ways that you can examine people by having them do it themselves. And we'll talk about that in the other module. But the lab is just one piece, and you can't just make a complete evaluation of a person just based on a lab. You can learn a lot about them, but it actually raises a lot of questions that you want to ask the person. So this is part of you really getting in and playing detective. So let's begin. Again, this is something I say at the beginning of all my presentations, and I encourage you to do the same as you're working with people and presenting, whether it's one-on-one or in a formal presentation. Some way of saying, I'm not diagnosing you. This isn't medical advice. This is education. I'm educating you about how your body works so that you can make really amazing decisions about how to take care of it. But if you are on any medication, if you are under the care of a medical practitioner, make sure that any changes you make to your diet and lifestyle are in conjunction with that practitioner. Now, we all know that we have patients that do not have a medical practitioner and don't want to have a medical practitioner because they don't want interventions in the medical and surgical realm. That's fine. And that's their decision. But you still have to tell them that you're not diagnosing them and that they need to work with their medical practitioner. It's just, you know, where it goes. You may be able to help them solve all their problems without it, but if they are on medication or under the care, just to cover yourself, you should be telling people this. So this is just the summary of where we're going to go. And let me run through this in terms of just a little brief get you excited about each of these pieces. Our beginning part, I'm going to introduce you to blood testing. What can you do with it? What can't you do with it? It's not a panacea, and it's not something that just is good in and of itself. Some secrets to finding nutritional pearls that most doctors miss. The whole myth of the normal ranges that are written on your labs, and the comparison to the functional ranges, the ideal ranges, the ranges that we really want to be in. What's included in a routine blood chemistry screen? Because that's what, you know, typically people run those, the SMAC 27. I'm making that up, the number, but they call it a SMAC systemic. I don't remember even what it means anymore, but the blood chemistries. We usually order them through direct labs, and I'll give you access to that as well. A cutting-edge analysis tool, which is your lab results tracking spreadsheet. For those of you who have never seen that, whoa, you're going to really love it, because it's going to take a lot of what we're going to learn, and you need to learn about how what each of these lab parameters means, but it's going to make it really easy for you to start doing your analysis. And then we're going to start by looking at the complete blood count, which is the CBC, and we're going to go under the covers to really look at anemia and understand anemia. And I won't go through each of these. We'll go through these at the beginning of each section, but we'll have another section that where we cover the immune function, electrolytes, minerals and bone metabolism, vitamins and blood. So then we go into thyroid, digestion, kidney, liver, and cardiovascular, and then we are going to go through the lab analysis summary tool, which you're going to love, and I will upload to you, and then the computerized blood chemistry analysis, which each of you gets, you know, anywhere from one to three of these, depending on when you signed up. I had offered, I think, the first three or so people, I'll look that up, get three of them, which means you can run it on yourself and your clients. I'm also working with that lab. They have an arrangement where multiple practitioners can share, where I can have a separate ID and possibly can be able to share with you. And then we're going to have case studies, and then at the end we'll do Q&A and wrap up. Why do we even want to do blood testing? Why can't we do just muscle testing or look at people's tongues or take people's pulses and know everything about them? Well, those are really good diagnostic skills, as is history taking, as is looking at various parts of their body, fingernails, hair, skin. Blood testing gives us a snapshot of what our chemistry is in our body at any given point in time. Is it foolproof? No. But what it does is by having data that's been collected over and over again, year after year, year after year, decade after decade, we get a sense of what the chemistry looks like in a normal person. Yeah, we're all unique, and sometimes people have different ranges of normal. They maybe have a range in the blood testing that looks like it's out of normal, but if you combine that and look at all the other things, all the other parameters, and you look at their bodies, you look at how they're feeling, you look at their energy, you might just discount and say, oh, that's not important. But you also make a mental note or a note in your chart that says, let's keep monitoring this. Okay? So we do blood testing to give us a snapshot of what's happening in your blood, which is feeding your entire body. So it's a snapshot at a point in time. Does it reflect everything over the last 20 years? Maybe, maybe not. Okay? Certain things, do they reflect the immediate just past? Sometimes it takes a while for things to change in the blood. I'll give you an example. We're going to be talking about the CBC, which is the complete blood count. And we measure the white blood cells and the red blood cells. Those numbers are very volatile. So your white blood cells are always responding to the environment. Do you have an infection? Is there an allergen? And those will go up if you're in the middle of fighting off a cold or have a flu. And then they'll go back down into a normal range. So when we look at white blood cell counts and we see a really high number, we don't immediately assume this part of leukemia, but we can't just say, oh, it's no big deal. We basically say things like, wow, have you had a cold recently? Do you have any? Oh, okay, that might be it. Let's wait 4 weeks and let's retest it because that should be back to normal. And if it's not, then it's something that needs to be looked at. So blood testing gives us the ability to have flags raised. So this gets us into the lab normals versus the functional normals. When you go to a conventional medical doctor, a Western-type medical doctor, an allopathic medical doctor, and they run lab tests on you, they just scan the sheet and they look for where the lab is flagged, this is outside the normal range. If you have any numbers outside the normal range, then they'll talk to you about it. Even then, I've had people say, I went in there and my white blood cell count was at an 18, and he said, yeah, it's probably just a cold. You probably just had a cold. Didn't recommend that she go back and have it retested. She went back like 6 months later, and she was feeling exhausted. They test her again. It had gone up even further. Turned out she had leukemia. It was missed. So you really do have this tool that will allow you to find things early. When you use this, the functional ranges, which are what we consider the ideal ranges, as opposed to the lab ranges, you start to see when things creep out of being really, really well functioning and into pathology, as opposed to using the lab normal ranges, where when you start to see those numbers creep out of those normal ranges, there's usually some sort of a physical change, physiologic change that's happened, not just a functional level. Okay? So we're going to teach you how to look at the functional ranges rather than the ideal, rather than the lab normal ranges. And just another aside on the way that they calculate those, there's certain things like cholesterol that's kind of like, oh, yeah, it's 150 to 200 is considered normal. But others are based on the population that visits that lab. Have you ever noticed that you'll look at labs from two different people that come from two different labs, and the ranges are different? Well, that's because one lab goes by their population, and they kind of figure, well, two standard deviations off the average is normal. You got a sick or geriatric population, and you're two standard deviations off the average there, you could be really sick, and it's not going to be flagged, right? So those lab normal ranges, some of them are the same as the functional ones. Some of them are very different. The other thing you're going to find is the functional ranges, you're going to see variations, minor, slight variations, depending on what book you read or what lab specialist you study. So there will be some variations between, say, the online software analysis, the blood analysis that I'm using, and my spreadsheet, because that's been calculated from different places. But they're very close, right? So that's why we set it up, when you see my spreadsheet, of having the green is the normal, the right in the ideal range. Yellow is when you're on either side, low or high, of that ideal range. And then I used orange rather than red, just because it's easier to read the lettering over it. But the orange is like you're outside the ranges, okay? So what's the secret to finding the pearls that most doctors miss? It's that you really dig in and you look at relationships between the different parameters on the lab. You use the functional ranges versus the lab ranges. And you also look at trends. What do I mean by trends? I mean you look at the lab side by side for various times that they've done them. And my spreadsheet gives you the ability to do like 10 different times, and you can always add more. And you compare. And you may have a value that a person has. Say, like, it's like one of the liver enzymes. Let's say AST, one of the liver enzymes. And that range is up to 25 is considered the ideal range. And say that person has a 10. The first year you look at them, and then you do it again, and they're at a 12. Still normal. They're still ideal. And then they're at a 14. And then they're at an 18. You're seeing a trend that their liver enzymes are creeping up, which says, I think I need to look at what's going on with their liver. Do they have some toxic exposure that their liver is constantly having to work with? Are they drinking alcohol and causing some oxidation to happen in there? Are they getting too hot or cold? Are they stressed? Are they very angry? In Chinese medicine, the liver is associated with anger, the emotion anger, and disrupting their liver energy. There's things you would want to look at because of the trends. So that's why you're going to be able to see some things that most doctors miss. Most doctors do not know how to look at possible adrenal issues from a standard blood chemistry screen. I'm going to teach you how to do that today. Isn't that cool? Most doctors don't know how to find your zinc status from these tests, or about vitamin B6 or folic acid. I'm going to show you how to do this. Now, not every nutrient is like hidden in there, but there's a lot of them. And when you see this amazing sheet that I'm going to give you at the end of the day, because I don't want it to get too confusing, and I don't want you to be looking ahead, you're going to see that I've laid that out for you. Like, oh, here's this nutrient, and here's like six or seven parameters in your blood that you can look at. Doesn't mean if one of them's out of range that you have that particular condition. We're looking for patterns, and I'll tell you how to do that. So a routine blood screen, we want to look at When would you run it? Why would you run it? How often should you run it? We'll look at how non-licensed practitioners can run them. Because some, if you go directly to LabCorp or Quest Labs or any of those big labs, you have to have be licensed to be able to write that. Now, I could do that. I could send people directly to those labs. But that's the easier way is using directlabs.com, which I'll give you the links to. How much should this cost? And it varies a lot. And how do you actually interpret it? And that's what we're here to do today and what's usually included. So we're going to get on and look at each of these parameters. So blood chemistry testing resources. You've got these. These are clickable if you open up. They should be clickable in the PDF file. They may or may not be. You may have to copy and paste these links, but keep these handy. The one that I use is directlabs.com. I chose it years ago. I've been using it. I've got good results with them, and I do it. Now, every now and then, they pull a test they no longer do, and they claim that, you know, LabCorp says, no, we can't do that one for you anymore. And recently, I just found out, tried to do isoenzymes, which we'll learn about later, which is a breakdown of one of the liver enzymes, and they said they no longer do that test. So then you want to look for other places. I've heard about personallabs.com. I know people who use it. I've just never personally used it. Then, just to be confusing, there's another one called directaccesslab.com. And if you click on these links and they're not available, just do Google searches for them because sometimes these places change their links. The Life Extension's one, they offer lab tests too. You have to pay, I don't know how much it is, $10 or $20 to become a member. And then you have access to being able to order labs through them. And they have a very wide range, array of labs. I haven't price shopped to see how they compare to Direct Labs. I know that periodically Direct Labs run specials. Every month they have a new special. And their special of the month is their comprehensive wellness profile, which we're going to look at. I'm going to share with you in a bit. And $57. This is a list of an extensive array of tests. Normally, if you were to go and just order a CBC alone, it would cost $30, $35. If you order the electrolytes alone, they're $30, $35. They've packaged it into a comprehensive wellness profile that includes thyroid, electrolytes, liver, lipids, everything else I just mentioned, and it's $59. It's usually $97. If you run that through a LabCorp Direct, if you go to your doctor's office and you tell them you want to run these tests and they run them, your deductible could cost more than the Direct Lab. So it's really, really, really reasonable. Wow, they have them for $45 a step. So definitely look at Life Extensions. Debbie's recommending them. She's used them. So super. Thank you. You're going to need some books. You're going to need to be able to pick up a book and really read about something. I'm going to give you the overall basics, but if somebody's really having resistant problems, it's always good to have a book on yourself. These are the two that I have, although mine don't look like that because my copies are 20 years old, but A Manual of Diagnostic Tests by Fishbach. Fishbach is like the Bible, at least in my school, it was the Bible. And I've got an old copy that looks way different from that. But, yeah, I reference it. I want to know what is the standard medical use of this test? What does it mean to be high or low? I'm going to give you those today. It's just a good thing to have. But better than – oh, and there's also lab tests online. Actually, maybe you don't even need one of these books because labstestsonline.org has a description of just about all the tests. So – you can have one of these books on your shelf just because it's nice to thumb through, but you can always use lab tests online. And that gives you the medical ranges and the medical interpretations. They're not going to say, oh, well, you can help this problem by helping person supplement with zinc or take this herb or whatever. On the next page are some functional interpretation books that I love. The Blood Chemistry and CBC Analysis by Dick and Weatherby. It's a good-sized book. It's about, you know, about an inch thick. And he has each test is on a page. And he goes through what a high means, what low means, what the medical approach would be, but what are some of the things nutritionally you can do to bring these things back in balance. the ranges he provides the standard medical ranges, but he also provides the ranges that are the optimal, the functional ranges. In addition, he has a chart in the back of the book which shows you how to interpret between the U.S. measurements and the international unit measurements. We in the U.S. are behind the world in that we don't use the metric system and we still use these non-universal ways of measuring. But he gives you the chart in there. The other one that I like a lot is the Encyclopedia of Nutritional Interpretation of Blood Tests. Now, I like both of these books for different reasons. The first one, the Dick and Weatherby one, is really nicely organized and really easy to find stuff in, and the way that he, you know, uses some graphics to help you to hone right into where you're going. But it's not as detailed as the Michael Wald one. Michael Wald is an MD, DC. I met him a few years back at a conference, hit it off. I ended up, you know, at the conference grabbing his software, which is called Blood Detective, and also his book. When we talk about software in a bit, I'll talk to, I have both of their softwares, and I'll tell you which one I like better when I get there. But his book has very detailed information, and then he has a list usually of what botanicals and what nutrients you can use to help bring these things back into balance. So really great books. There's no way that I could teach everything in each of these books in the time we have allotted. It would take, you know, several weeks to do that. So it's good to have it as a reference point. If you were to just pick up their books off the shelf and not have taken the course or have somebody going through and explaining it to you and giving you case studies, it's just much harder to learn. So if you have the combination of a book and the knowledge from the tapes and the visuals and all that, then you're going to learn a lot better. One of these days, I will write a book which combines what I like about one and what I like about the other, and then some other things that I've learned at seminars. I took a seminar with Dr. Datis Karazian several years back, and I have a very good book that he put together for that seminar, but it's only available if you go to that seminar, and that was a three-day seminar. But that was very good. So, computerized functional interpretation. Well, for you guys, for free, you can use my spreadsheet. My spreadsheet is an Excel spreadsheet, and you basically pop the numbers in. I'll show you it really quickly. It's here. You basically pop numbers in. I cut this down to just three columns, but the one that you got has, you know, probably 8 or 10 columns. So you can put sequential labs from your client in there. And I suggest you run it, could do it for yourself. My mouse is getting stuck. So look what happens. So I have the range, glucose 75 to 89, and I'm going to put in the number 250. The cell stays orange. Now, some of these cells are orange to begin with when they're empty. It's a little confusing, but I haven't figured out the nuances of how to fix that. But now I'm going to put in a perfectly normal blood sugar of 85. The cell turns green. Great. Now I'm going to put something that's marginally 91. It turns yellow. Okay? So this helps you to graphically see. You could see if you put all your stuff in here, then it's going to be really easy to just hone in on what you want to be talking to the person about. In addition, what I put on the right-hand side here is possible interpretation. If it's high, what does it mean? Well, it could be diabetes, it could be insulin resistance, vitamin deficiency, stress, or liver. It doesn't mean it's all of those, and it could be none of those. But these are possibilities. If it's low, hypoglycemia, low adrenal function. And then I have a column that says follow-up. What do you do for follow-up? That over, and here's some other follow-up testing you might want to do. Well, if the glucose is out of range, you might want to test their fasting insulin and hemoglobin A1C, and we'll talk about those as well. All right, so this is a tool that you have at your disposal that you can use with your clients and you can use on yourself, and it's a very valuable tool. And you could see that you can see trends. Remember I said, well, maybe let's push down to here, alkaline phosphatase, the liver enzyme also can indicate bone. So I'm going to put a number in there that's perfectly normal. Okay? It turns green. And now I have one that's 80. Right? And now I have one that says 85. They're all green. But what's the next one going to be? So here's where you're able to predict trends. So you start to look at the columns side by side and you go, you know what? There's some probably some liver stress going on because your liver enzymes just keep getting higher and higher. You wouldn't use just one in isolation. When we look at liver, you'll see that there's other things. But you start to look for trends and patterns. When you first start doing this, you're just going to be doing rote by the numbers. But after a while, it's just going to pop out at you. I've shocked myself with how quickly I can look at one of these things and start honing in on what's going on with somebody and ask the right questions and get the right follow-up. So that's that. The blood detective, I actually don't have that software on the computer I'm using right now because I didn't reinstall it on here. However, it's a great program. It's a huge database. It's very flexible. You can put in your own kind of what you do, like say you have particular herbs or nutrients you use when somebody has a specific out-of-range number, you can plug that in there. It's extremely complicated to set up, extremely and extremely time-consuming to customize. It's extremely time-consuming to get a report. It actually takes, because they don't have it all in one place, it takes like about a half an hour to generate the reports, and then if you want to save them to send to somebody, you have to save them all as PDFs, and then you have to be able to send them. And it probably takes about a half an hour between per person, between putting the numbers in and then running the reports and then saving the reports and then sending to somebody. It could take actually longer than that. It's taken as much as an hour. And it's very sluggish. And for $4,900, I think I got a good deal on it when I was at the seminar. So I paid a little bit less than that, not that much less than that. And I used it to offer to folks on one of my programs, hey, pay $100 and get a beautiful lab analysis. And I kind of broke even on and made back the money that I paid for the software. But I haven't used it since because it was so horrendous and I had to pay somebody hours and hours and hours and hours of time to do it. And it's not an online software. It's on your own computer. So I had to have somebody come to my house to put the things in. On the other hand, this blood chemistry software that just came out, made by Dick and Weatherby, so the two books that I had on the other page is also there. This blood chemistry software, you can pay anywhere from $65 to $150 per month. I think I got the full-fledged gold package for $65 because I was a charter member, and so I'm paying $65 a month for this, and I'm getting access to it. So it adds up, but if I run these and I charge somebody a nominal fee even, if I just charge somebody $50 to have their chemistry run, and we have to see how long it takes to enter, data enter and all, or $100 to get a beautiful, complete set of reports, then you're paying for it really easily just by doing a few of them. But like I said before, they have offered that I can make an arrangement where I can actually have practitioners. You guys, if you're like certified, you've been through the program, and then I would allow you to use my numbers per month, and you could pay me like for every test you do or something like that until it gets to be worthwhile for you to pay it yourself. Once you're doing enough of them, it's well worth it for you to just do it yourself. So I'll let you know about that more towards the end of the class as I negotiate with these guys. But I will show you what it looks like. You log in. It's got some really cool features. In addition to being able to do a new lab test or new patient, I won't do the view patients because I don't want you to see my patients, people. But if I do a new lab test, I get to put the person's name in, and then I can go back and enter their stuff. And I do dashboard. I'll set it up later so that it's already there so I don't have to have risky seeing my people's data. But you can do reports. You get to choose the patient, and then you go there, and I'll show you that later. You can use, they have all these great things like a blood reference guide where it gives you information about each and every one of these, and then the ranges, what it means to be low, what it means to be high, other stuff, interfering factors, drug association. But also they have a clinical conditions guide. So bacterial infection, how does it show up in lab, and what kind of things can you do? So it's really, really, it's well worth this just to have this database here. And when you get the reports, like I said, I'll generate a report on like me or something, and I'll show it to you later. when you get the report, it's just quite amazing how all the stuff I'm going to be teaching you comes out in a way that's computerized. However, you need to learn this. It's like teaching kids in school when they're doing math, that they, when they're doing math, they cannot use a calculator when they're first learning. They have to know how to do it. And then once they we're confident that they can do it on their own, we then allow them to use a calculator. And same thing with this. I'd like you to do these on your own for a bit so you learn them, and then you'll recognize the beauty. And Debbie asks, is this software from Apex? No, I've looked at the Apex one. I was very disappointed with the Apex one because it wasn't very adjustable, and also it was very expensive, and it was all coded with their supplement line in there. So the recommendations were not generic, like, here, try these herbs. It was their particular products, and you had to then go and interpret, well, what does their Apex number 47 mean? But these give you nice little protocols that are more generic. You know, I can go to buy some Shizandra, right, Reishi. All right, so this is that awesome tool. We'll look at it a little bit more later. And I just want to let you know what's available. So what's included on your routine blood chemistry screen? What's called the CBC, which means complete blood count, and that's the measure of your white blood cells, your red blood cells, the differentials, the hemoglobin, and we'll look at exactly what's in that later. A thyroid panel, and we'll look at the details of that. A lipid panel, we'll be looking at the details. A blood sugar analysis, which is just basically glucose. That's all that's usually included from blood sugar perspective on a routine. Some of the more advanced ones you have to order separately. A liver panel, which is all your liver enzymes. Kidney panel, which is, you know, your bun and your creatinine and all those, which we'll look at. Mineral and bones, fluid and electrolytes, and that's it. So that's the things that will be included if you go to your direct labs and order their comprehensive wellness profile. Most likely, same thing with life extensions. You go there, that's what they'll be giving you. So the non-optional extras. What do I mean by non-optional extras? These are tests that I think that you really should not skip. And I think vitamin D should be on all these panels because there's so much vitamin D deficiency, and it's so critical to solve vitamin D deficiency to get anywhere, no matter what problems you're working with people. If they have a vitamin D deficiency, it's going to interfere. So I think everybody should be running that. I also believe strongly that everyone, at least females, at least anybody who's fatigued or has dry skin or is constipated or has any signs that could suggest thyroid signs, that they have their thyroid antibodies tested. I specifically chose thyroid peroxidase versus antithyroglobulin because thyroid peroxidase in people with autoimmune thyroid disease, it's the thyroid peroxidase, TPO, that's elevated in 80% of those cases. But what about those other 20? Here's what I do. If somebody doesn't mind going to the lab to get poked twice, or they live close to the lab, there's no big deal, then I tell them, look, you can save some money by just running the thyroid peroxidase antibodies. If they're elevated, then we're going to know we're going to be working with an autoimmune thyroid condition. We don't have to spend the extra $50 to run the second antibody, which is antithyroglobulin. But if it comes back negative and you have all these symptoms that I suspect may be thyroid-related, then I want you to go back and get it, so I'll let them know. I think if you run just the thyroid peroxidase through Direct Labs, it's $59, and if you run the panel, it's $89. So they do pay more if they don't run the both at the same time, and then they go back and get the other one tested. Again, Direct Labs does periodic specials, and just a couple of months ago, they had the thyroid special. What I recommend is that if you have people who need repeats and they do these tests, you can actually get a couple of tests at the same time. So you can order it, and then you can go back a few hours later after they've processed it and order it again. So if you know you're going to be doing a follow-up, then they can run it twice. What else? Iron. Direct Labs does include it in their panel, but I can't tell you how many people do not have iron on their panels. And I was like, We're looking at their anemia status, which we'll look at in a very short while. We're looking at their hematocrit and their hemoglobin, and we're going, what's their iron levels? We don't have them. And ferritin is the other one. At least one of these. If you're only going to run one, I would go with the ferritin, because ferritin can detect iron deficiency sooner than iron can. I like to have both because it gives me some information, and when we look at the anemia and how do you compare the different findings, it helps you to differentiate the different types of anemia. So those are the ones I really like. The other thing I like is the hemoglobin A1C, not necessarily non-optional on everyone, but it's certainly non-optional on anybody that has excess belly fat, especially skinny people who have big bellies, who have tell you they have wild fluctuations in their moods, and they say, oh, I have blood sugar problems. I can't, you know, I can't go without more than 2 hours without eating. And they have any kind of family history of diabetes. I want to see their hemoglobin A1C, and we'll talk about what that is in detail later. But suffice it to say right now, hemoglobin A1C gives you the long-term status, over 3 months status, of what your glucose has been. And it's basically glycosylated hemoglobin, and it's basically sugar-coated hemoglobin. Then there are some specialty blood tests. I'll be incorporating these as we go through talking about each of the individual sections. We have C-reactive protein, which is an inflammatory marker, vitally important for people in cardiovascular problems or systemic inflammation and autoimmune disease. Homocysteine. Important, it's also, it helps to differentiate folic acid B12 deficiencies from other sources of anemia. It also is an important marker for heart disease. We'll talk about it later when we talk about that. The sedimentation rate, also called the ESR, erythrocyte sedimentation rate, or it's sometimes just called SED rate. And that's another inflammatory marker. So depending on what's going on with the person, we may or may not order these. And then insulin. Fasting insulin is really an important indicator to see if somebody is pre-diabetic, insulin resistance, or has metabolic syndrome. And we'll talk about all three of those later. Then DHEA, you know, if somebody has long-standing adrenal problems, they're showing signs of premature aging, they're having sex drive problems. For women, if they have facial hair, we want to check to see if their DHEA is too high even. So that's something that can be run. It doesn't have to be run in blood, and it's run as part of the adrenal panel, and the adrenal module is one that you'll be getting in the next couple of weeks, and we usually do it by saliva, and it measures the DHEA. Other things like the female and the male hormones, testosterone and estrogen can be measured in the blood as well. Again, we don't do it routinely, and I'm going to be talking to you about the pros and cons of doing it in the blood versus the saliva versus the urine when we do our hormones section, which is after the first of the year. And finally, PSA, only for males, of course, prostate-specific antigen, and that measures oxidation and damage, basically, that's happening to the prostate gland. Okay? This I got from Dickon Weatherby in his book, The Blood Chemistry and CBC Analysis book, and this is basically what he recommends as a hierarchy of approach to a functional diagnosis. The digestion he puts as critical right up front. You need to do digestion first because the digestion is at the heart of everything else. And there's people who disagree and say, no, do the liver first. I kind of combine the digestion and detox and do some basic detox, everyday detox I call it, with digestion to balance that. And then the gallbladder, which is part of digestion, and it's part of the system that helps with the fat digestion. And then looking at minerals, vitamins, EFAs, blood sugar. Again, I maybe bump blood sugar up a bit, but it depends on the person, right? Some people just need to look at the blood sugar right away, and that's what's causing all the oxidative stress. That's what's causing all the damage and the detox symptoms. And it can also be damaging the digestion. So it's hard to separate them and do them sequentially. We want to look at the big picture and say, what can we do that's going to bring function back to normal? And then he says kidney and adrenal and thyroid and sex hormones, cardiovascular, inflammation, and immune. So that's his functional hierarchy. I just thought I'd share it. It's not necessarily mine. Mine's a little bit different. You're going to develop your own functional hierarchy. And it's going to depend on what kind of people you're seeing, if you're seeing certain people with who have a lot of hormone imbalances, maybe menopausal women, you may be doing this in a slightly different order than if you were seeing mostly people with ADD or other kinds of problems that way, or autoimmune disease. I work on a lot of autoimmune disease people, and quite successfully, I might add. So I already shared with you my cutting-edge analysis tool. We'll go back to that later as we go through every single one of the parameters we're going to be looking at from a functional perspective, and we have case studies that show their analysis from here. And what I would recommend, is this is what the lab looks like when you get it from LabCorp. I chopped off the top, which had all the identifying information, but basically this is that, and you have to take these numbers, and you could see as you're going through here, you go 79. Now, is that within my ideal range? Yeah, I think it is. Is it too low? Is it too high? You're not getting that here. It's not flagging it. Whereas if you put it in the spreadsheet, which only takes about 10 minutes the first time and 5 minutes probably sequentially because later you learn how to do it, you get a really good at a glance. So it's really worthwhile. What I used to do before I developed the spreadsheet is I'd take this, and actually I had a paper that I got in one of the classes I took, and I put it on the little paper, and that took a long time, but it still wasn't as effective. Or I would just jot, you know, have my ideal ranges sheet sitting next to me and just highlight the things that were out of range. But I love the spreadsheet. I just love it. And what I would recommend you do is if you have a lab that you're working with, is just open up the spreadsheet and see if you could put the numbers in.